The following teleconference is recorded for Peter Majeski with iAdvise, Wednesday, February 2nd, 2011, 9 a.m. Eastern Time.
Good morning and welcome to Intergroup Financial Services' fourth quarter 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as a procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Pete Majeski of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Callie. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Intergroup Financial Services' fourth quarter 2010 earnings conference call on this 2nd of February, 2011. We are very pleased to have with us from Intergroup, Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, Intergroup's Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Claudia Valdivia, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro, as well as Gonzalo Basaldre, Chief Investment Officer of Interseguro. They will be discussing Intergroup's results per the press release distributed yesterday afternoon. If you have not yet received a copy of the presentation or earnings release, please visit us at www.iss.com.pe to download a copy or call us in New York at 212-406-3693. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Rosas, please begin.
Thank you, Pete. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our fourth quarter 2010 conference call. We will start with a brief discussion of the highlights of Intergroup's performance. If we look at yearly results for Intergroup, net earnings were 498.4 million euros in 2010, and that was a 1.6% decrease when compared to 2009. Operating trends were very strong at Intergroup, and that was driven by record high earnings in both subsidiaries. However, they were offset by increases in depreciation and tax expense. When excluding non-recurring items, Intergroup's net earnings increased 23% in 2010. Now, looking at the quarterly performance, if we look at Intergroup's recurring net earnings, they decreased 13.6% quarter-on-quarter and 5.2% year-on-year as a result of increases in the cost of funds, provisions, and administrative expenses. At Interbank, net earnings rose 16% in 2010 and reached a record level of 497.5 million, driven by loan growth and a lower average cost of funds throughout the year. Interbank's loan portfolio grew 21.5% in 2010, above the industry's 18.8% expansion rate. Now, looking at the quarterly earnings, earnings were 138.3 million in the fourth quarter, a 6.2% increase year on year, and a 2.3% decrease quarter on quarter. The main driver for the quarter on quarter decrease was a 20 basis point decline in the net interest margin, due mainly to a higher cost of funds. Asset quality improved in the fourth quarter as the past due loan ratio declined from 1.6% in September to 1.5% in December. Interseguro's net earnings reached a record 85 million soles in 2010, driven by strong investment income and record annuity sales. Looking at the quarterly performance, net earnings decreased 32% quarter-on-quarter due to a decline in investment income. Now, please turn to the following page for a discussion of the yearly earnings of Intergroup and its two subsidiaries. As mentioned before, Intergroup's net earnings decreased 1.6% when compared to 2009. Net operating margin rose 9.7% in 2010, driven by increasing loan volume at Interbank and strong investment income at Interseguro. However, this strong operating trend was offset by increases of more than 30% in depreciation and tax expenses. Excluding non-recurring items, Intergroup's net earnings rose 23% in 2010. Recurring ROE was 27% in 2010, above the 26.6% reported in 2009. Looking at the middle chart in this page, Interbank's net earnings were 497.5 million in 2010, a 16% increase compared to 2009. The main factors contributed to net earnings growth at Interbank were increases of 12.6% in gross financial margin and 15% in fee income, partially offset by increases in administrative expenses and provisions. The increase in gross financial margin was due to loan volume growth and a decline in the average cost of deposits. And looking at the last chart in this page, Interseguro's net earnings reached a record 85 million soles in 2010, an 11% increase compared to 2009. The main drivers for earning growth were a significant increase in premiums, triggered by a new law allowing early retirement, and a 25% increase in investment income. In page 5, we can see a summary of the quarterly earnings of Intergroup and its two subsidiaries. In the following pages, we will go through detailed discussion of each company's quarterly performance. Please turn to page 6 for a discussion of Intergroup's net earnings. Intergroup's net earnings were 102.4 million in the fourth quarter of 2010, a 23% decrease quarter on quarter and a 36% decrease year on year. When excluding non-recurring items, which were particularly high in the fourth quarter of 2009, net earnings decreased 14% quarter-on-quarter and 5% year-on-year. The quarter-on-quarter decrease in earnings was mainly the result of a 10.3% decline in net financial margin. Interest on loans grew 4% quarter-on-quarter due to volume growth, and financial expenses remained stable. However, these positive trends were offset by lower investment gains and increasing provision expenses, which led to the above-mentioned decline in net financial margin. Fee income grew 16% quarter-on-quarter, driven by strong business activity in Interbank's retail and commercial segments. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting decreased 6.6 million soles due to lower reserves. Administrative expenses grew 8% quarter-on-quarter as a result of business expansion in Interbank and Interseguro. Net earnings decreased 36% year-on-year when compared to a fourth quarter 2009 in which significant one-time investment gains were recorded. When excluding non-recurring items, net earnings decreased 5% year-on-year. Interest on loans increased 10% year-on-year as a result of significant volume growth. However, gross financial margin rose only 1.5% as growth in interest on loans was offset by two factors. The first was a decline in investment income due mainly to the fact that in the fourth quarter of 2009, Interseguro reported a 25 million soles one-time valuation gain due to a change in accounting regulations. The second factor was a 47% increase in financial expenses due to volume growth, higher rent rates on term deposits, and interest paid on two bond issues totaling $600 million completed by Interbank in 2010. Provision expenses increased 25% year-on-year in line with loan growth and partly as a result of the activation of procyclical provision requirements in October 2010. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting rose 48% due to an increase in accounting reserves linked to strong annuity sales. These factors led net operating margin to decline by 12%. Net earnings fell at a higher rate than operating margin due to a 33% increase in depreciation expense, a 26 million decrease in other income, and an increase in the effective tax rate from 26% in the fourth quarter of 2009 to 36% in the fourth quarter of 2010. Now please turn to page 8 for a discussion of Interbank's performance. Interbank's net income grew 6.2% year-on-year, driven by increases of 11% in net financial margin and 20% in fee income. Net earnings decreased 2.3% quarter-on-quarter due to a decline in net financial margin and an increase in administrative expenses. Recurring net interest margin contracted 20 basis points quarter-on-quarter as a result of a higher cost of funds, lower yields in the commercial loan portfolio, and lower investment returns. In the following pages, we will discuss each of Interbank's lines in the profit and loss statement in more detail. Please turn to page 9 to see a detail of Interbank's loan portfolio. There, we can see that performing loans grew 6.6% quarter-on-quarter and 21.5% year-on-year, with strong performances in the retail and commercial segments, both of which have grown significantly since the second quarter of last year. Retail loans increased 6% quarter-on-quarter, due mainly to a 10% increase in mortgages and a 7% increase in credit card financing. Interbank's mortgage portfolio continues to grow, driven by strong demand in the construction industry and successful commercial efforts at Interbank. As a result of these efforts, the total mortgage loan portfolio has expanded 35% year-on-year. Credit card financing expanded at the highest quarterly growth rate of the past 2 years, due to growing consumer demand in Peru. Currently, retail loans have grown 20% year-on-year, leading to an expansion in Interbank's market share in the retail segment from 17.3% in December 2009 to 17.6% in December 2010. Commercial loans grew 7.5% quarter-on-quarter and 23% year-on-year in a context of high investment activity in Peru's private sector. Interbank's market share in the commercial segment has also expanded by 30 basis points during the last 12 months. Please turn to the following page. Interbank has funded its quarterly growth mainly with increases in bonds and savings deposits. The increase in bonds was due to a 400 million corporate bond issue completed in October 2010. This bond issue replaced short-term obligations and has led Interbank to fully match the maturities of its dollar-denominated assets and liabilities. Deposits grew 3.7% quarter-on-quarter, due mainly to an increase of 6.6% in the retail deposit portfolio. Now please turn to page 11. There we can see a detailed discussion of Interbank's gross financial margin. Interest on loans grew 4.2% quarter-on-quarter, but gross financial margin decreased 4.6%. This decline was due to lower investment gains and higher financial expenses related to a $400 million bond issue mentioned previously. Quarter-on-quarter growth in interest on loans was due to a 7% increase in average loan volume, partially offset by a 40 basis points decrease in the average yield, from 15% in the third quarter to 14.6% in the fourth quarter. The yield in the commercial loan portfolio continued a downward trend observed throughout the year, while the yield in the retail portfolio has remained stable. Investment income decreased 27.5% quarter-on-quarter, due mainly to non-recurring items reported in the first quarter of 2010. Additionally, Interbank carries a large portion of central bank certificates on deposits in its investment portfolio. A portion of those certificates of deposit matured during the fourth quarter and were replaced by overnight deposits in the central bank. Those overnight deposits are classified as cash rather than as investments. As a result of that, the average volume of Interbank's investment portfolio declined and partially explains the decline in interest on investment. This has a counterparty in interest on cash, which increased significantly as a result of our placing additional funds in central bank's overnight deposits. The average yield on Interbank's assets was 11% in the fourth quarter of 2010, a 60 basis point decline from the third quarter of 2010. Financial expenses grew 14% quarter-on-quarter due to increases of 84% in interest on bonds and 10% in interest on bank loans. Interest on deposits remained stable quarter-on-quarter. The increase in interest on bonds was due to significant growth in the average volume due to the $400 million corporate bond issue previously mentioned. Gross financial margin increased 15% year-on-year as a consequence of a 10% increase in interest on loans and a 105% increase in investment income, partially offset by a 43% increase in financial expenses. The increase in interest on loans was due to 22% growth in the average loan volume, partially offset by a 160 basis points decrease in the average yield, from 16.2% in the fourth quarter of 2009 to 14.6% in the fourth quarter of 2010. This decrease was driven by lower yields in the commercial and retail portfolios. The decline in the commercial loan portfolio was a result of increased competitive pressures. The decline in the yields of the retail portfolio was attributable to an increase in the proportion of mortgages and premium credit cards with lower than average yields within the retail loan portfolio. Financial expenses grew 43% year-on-year, due to increases of 372% in interest on bonds and 27% in interest on bank loans. Interest on deposits declined 3.1% year-on-year. The bank's average cost of funding increased 30 basis points quarter-on-quarter and 40 basis points year-on-year. On page 12, we have a chart showing the evolution of our net interest margin. we can see that our NIM has decreased 60 basis points quarter on quarter, from 9% in the first quarter of 2010 to 8.4% in the fourth quarter of 2010. As a result of a lower yield in the commercial loan portfolio, a higher cost of funds, and lower income from non-recurring investments. When excluding non-recurring factors, the net interest margin would have been 7.9% in the fourth quarter of 2010, a 20 basis points decline quarter on quarter, and a 60 basis points decline year on year. This decline is in line with the trend followed by the industry's average net interest margin. Interbank's NIM remains significantly above the industry's average. On page 13, we have a discussion of asset quality and provision expenses. Asset quality has continued to strengthen as the ratio of past due loans to total loans decreased from 1.6% in the third quarter to 1.5% in the fourth quarter. The reserve coverage ratio increased from 264% to 269%. Provision expenses increased 7.1% quarter on quarter and 24.8% year on year as a result of volume growth and the activation in October of pro-cyclical provision requirements. This requirement had a non-recurring impact of almost 8 million soles on provision expenses in the fourth quarter of 2010 and partially explained this increase in provision. The annualized ratio of loan provisions to average loans remained stable at 3.7% quarter on quarter and increased slightly year on year from 3.6% in the fourth quarter of 2009. Please turn to page 14. You can see that we had a very strong quarter fee income, which grew 17.5% quarter on quarter and 19.8% year on year as a result of significant increase in commercial advisory fees, fees for collection and payment services, and fees from credit and debit cards. Administrative expenses grew 4.3% year on year, a much more moderate rate of expansion than in previous quarters. As a result, the bank's efficiency ratio improved from 52% in the fourth quarter of 2009 to 47.9% in the fourth quarter of 2010. On page 15, we can have a chart showing our capital ratio. The ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 14.4% in the fourth quarter, below 15.4% reported in the first quarter, but above the 11.5% reported in the fourth quarter of 2009. The quarter-on-quarter change was a result of a 9% increase in the risk-weighted assets in line with loan growth at Interbank. The year-on-year increase in the regulatory capital ratio was due to growth rates of 38.5% in Tier 1 capital and 96.5% in Tier 2 capital. These increases were the result of the capitalization of 182 million soles in earnings and a 200 million Tier 1 bond issue completed in April 2010. With this, we complete the discussion of Interbank's performance. Now, Claudia Valdivia will discuss Interseguro's fourth quarter performance.
Thank you, José Antonio. Please turn on page 17 of the presentation. The table shows a summary of Interseguro P&L performance, where we can see a strong increase in premiums year over year and slight decrease quarter over quarter, driven mainly by annuity and non-life premiums. Technical margin is lower year-over-year and higher quarter-over-quarter in line with annuity premiums. Since each time an annuity premium is sold, a reserve must be recognized in the financial statements according to Peruvian regulation. Administrative expenses grew 16% quarter-over-quarter and 45.7% year-over-year, driven by an increase in personal expenses attributable to Interseguro's increase in sales force and a provision made for personal bonus. Investment income decreased 19.9% quarter-over-quarter and 4.4% year-over-year. The quarter-over-quarter decrease is a result of lower realized gains, while the year-over-year decrease is attributable to an extraordinary gain of 25.1 million soles on fourth quarter of 2009 due to a new accounting rule that required mark-to-market the credit default swap component of credit link notes. Excluding this non-recurring factor, net income would have increased 186.5% year-over-year. As a result of the factors explained before, net income for fourth quarter of 2010 was 19.2 million nuevos soles, a 32% decrease quarter-over-quarter and a 39.5% decrease year-over-year. On a yearly basis, Interseguros' net income was a record of 85.4 million euros soles, 11.1% increase compared to 2009, driven by strong investment income and a record annuity sale. On page 18, we show in detail the performance of Interseguros' premiums. As shown in the table, premiums triple year over year due to increasing sales across nearly every business line and a decrease of 3.9% quarter over quarter. The business line with higher growth year over year was annuities as a result of a new early retirement law enacted earlier 2010. Annuity premiums sold under this early retirement law represented 62.6% of total annuity sales. The quarter-over-quarter decrease is explained by an 18% market contraction due to the delay from the government in issuing the bonus of reconocimiento. As of December 31, 2010, Interseguros is by far the leading annuity provider to the early retirement segment with a 28% market share. In addition to annuities, other business lines had an important growth. Non-life insurance doubled sales year-over-year and quarter-over-quarter due to the new theft protection insurance for interbanks and Oasis debit and credit cards. Finally, on page 19, there are some details of Interseguros' investment portfolio and investment income. Interseguros' investment income was 50.8 million euros soles in the fourth quarter of 2010, a 19.9% decrease quarter over quarter and a 4.3% decrease year over year. The quarter-over-quarter decrease is explained by lower realized gains and small reduction in equity and real estate income. The year-over-year decrease is related to an extraordinary gain in fourth quarter of 2009 due to the new accounting regulation explained before. Excluding this change, investment income would have increased 81.6% year-over-year. The yearly growth is tied also to a significant increase in real estate income due to the opening of Centro Cívico Shopping Center in December of 2009 and to an overall higher yield in Interseguros' real estate investment. Interseguros' investment portfolio increased 1.2% quarter over quarter and 60.9% year over year, totaling 2,186 million euros soles. This increase is tied to growth in annuity sales as well as the price appreciation of Interseguros' overall portfolio.
Okay, with this, we complete our discussion of intergroup performance, and now we are open for the question and answer session.
Okay, at this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Our first question will come from Marcelo Telles with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I was wondering if you could comment a little bit about the outlook for 2011 in terms of expectations for loan growth and particularly fee growth. You know, this year, if you're going to be able to repeat the good performance that you had in 2010. Thank you.
Good morning, Marcelo. Our outlook for 2011 is very optimistic. We foresee that the Peruvian economy will continue to expand at very healthy rates. We expect GDP growth to be at around 7%, and we expect the banking industry to grow at between 2.5 and 3 times GDP growth in 2011. So that leads us to an industry growth of around 20%, and we expect that our loan portfolio will grow at about the same pace, between 20 and 23%. Regarding fee income, we indeed had a very good fourth quarter, and there are seasonal factors which make the fourth quarter particularly strong, and that's been the case for the past 3 years. So we wouldn't expect the first quarter of 2011 with fee income as strong as it was in the fourth quarter. Having said that, we do expect fee income to continue growing during 2010 at a pace of about 10% compared to 2010. Sorry.
Excellent. And just as a follow-up, I mean, if we think about the continuation of the monetary tightening cycle, how does the increasing rates impact your margins? and what should expect in the financial margin, you know, for 2011, also, you know, especially considering the, you know, the comeback of some of the foreign banks and, you know, the pressure seen on the commercial side. Thank you.
Well, we do expect and have budgeted that the central bank will continue tightening monetary policy throughout the year. And as you have seen, our recurring net interest margin was 7.9% in the fourth quarter. And we expect that to decline to a level slightly below 7.5% throughout the year. And that includes our expectation of continuing downward trend in the commercial loan portfolio, and also an expectation of an increasing cost of funds, which affects particularly the term deposit component of our funding.
Excellent. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Our next question will come from Daniel Abbott with Citi.
Good morning, Jose Antonio. A couple of questions. One on provisions. You mentioned that, you know, provisions stay at the 3.7% level of the prior quarter as a percentage of loans. Yet, starting in October, you did see some impact from the countercyclical provision. So going forward, what should we expect in terms of provisioning levels, given that the economy is likely to continue to be very robust? So it's unlikely to have much pressure from at least the performance of the portfolio, but you still have you know, ongoing need for countercyclical provisions. So how should we think about provisions for 2011? And second, which is probably embedded in what you explained about the cost of funds, I noticed that your market share in deposits came down, you know, quite significantly, both in the quarter and in the year, primarily on what you call commercial deposits. So I imagine there was a yield trade-off there between what you had to pay in those deposits and what you could pay in other type of funding, bonds, et cetera, that you decided to let some of the deposits go. But if you could explain what was the rationale behind giving up so much market share in commercial deposits.
Good morning, Daniel. Regarding your first question, what should we expect on provisions, the 3.7% ratio that we have had in the fourth quarter is indeed affected by the countercyclical provisioning requirements. And that has two components. It has a one-time component of taking our balance as of September 30th, up to date with the cyclical provisional requirements. And that was the 8 million soles I mentioned earlier. And it has an ongoing component that affects the growth in our loan portfolio. So now every new loan that we disburse, either in retail and commercial, is subject to countercyclical provisional requirements that come on top of the generic provisioning requirements. With that in mind, we do not expect the one-time provisioning updating to continue, but we do expect to have strong loan growth, and as a result, to have this new requirement on our ongoing disbursements. That should lead us to a provisioning expense of about 3.5% of total loans. A decline in market share on commercial deposits, that is indeed the case. Commercial deposits have two components. One is the transactional core deposits from our corporate clients, and the second one is institutional deposits from institutional investors. Those are mainly term deposits, and those are the marginal funding that we take at Interbank. If we look only at the transactional component, we have maintained our market share. Our market share has declined only in the institutional component, and that was the result of our having ample liquidity as a result of the $400 million bond issue that we completed in October. As a result, we did not have to go out to the market to take more institutional deposits, and we're able to reduce our funding on that side of the that segment of the market.
Okay, thank you, Jose Antonio.
So,
thank you for your question. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question will come from Fabio Scotti with Barclays Capital.
Oh, hi. Good morning, everyone. Antonio, can you please just a follow-up on Abut's question on loan loss provisions. You mentioned 3.5 of average loans for provision in 2011. I would assume this does not imply further asset quality improvement. Am I right?
What we are expecting, Fabio, is that asset quality will remain at the same level we had it in December 2010.
And this is more due to the mix as you will probably have riskier assets expanding faster, or this has to do with the cyclical component of asset quality improvement being already behind us?
Yes, it has more to do with the second part of your question. Definitely, we have seen a significant improvement or improvement throughout 2010. We think that 1.5% of past due loans as a percentage of total loans is a very reasonable ratio to maintain throughout the year, and we do not expect that to decline significantly in 2011.
Okay, and can you please provide us more color on when you would expect to see price competition on commercial loans to ease?
We are not expecting competition to ease in 2011, definitely. We saw a 2010 in which competition intensified throughout the year, and we're still seeing that trend going on at the start of 2011. So we do expect to have a very competitive year in the commercial segment.
Okay, and maybe one additional question, if I may. Can you provide further details on the extraordinary expenses accounted in 4Q on administrative expenses? Thanks.
Yes, that's an expense that should have been provisioned throughout the year. And looking at it, and you know, an amount for the full amount registered in a single quarter, it does seem significant. But if it's spaced out throughout the year, as it should have been, it's not too significant or too material. And that has to do with long-term compensation packages for senior management at Intergroup.
Got it. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Alonso Aramburu with BTGP Actual.
Hi, good morning, Jose Antonio. Yeah, just to follow up on the previous question, to make sure we're referring to the same number, the long-term compensation expense that you're referring to is that $20.3 million other expense that is in Intergroup's profit and loss statement summary in the press release. And then my second question would be, as you look into 2011 for loan growth, how do you see the growth of each category? Do you see the corporate sector still outperforming the retail sector?
Good morning, Alonso. Regarding your first question, that long-term compensation is the most important part of those 20 million soles that you mentioned. It's about 16 million soles in those 20 million that correspond to a long-term compensation. In terms of loan growth, what we are expecting now is to have similar growth rates between commercial and retail. So both portfolios growing at about 20%.
Great. Thank you, Jose Antonio.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question will come from Boris Molina with Santander.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Just a couple of clarifications. What is your expected coverage ratio, given, you know, these numbers you've given us in terms of, like, the provision effort and the non-performing loan ratio, just to make sure that we kind of round up all the numbers on this front? Secondly, if you could elaborate a little bit on which banks are more active in what segments of competition, you know, what is Banco Continental focusing? Have you noticed any changes in their focus or their strategy? And thirdly, if you could elaborate or explain a little bit what is the economics of the business of the annuities? Because we see that, you know, premiums rise very fast and technical reserves are very high. But then, you know, when you put all the other components, the underwriting result is lower year on year. So, you know, something has changed. If we didn't have the annuities and if we provision all the, you know, all the business, you know, is it the upfront cost of selling expenses that is depressing profitability and you should expect this to ease out over time? You know, how does this business work? Because I can't get my head around it. Thank you.
Good morning, Boris. Regarding your first question on the coverage ratio, we expect to keep the coverage ratio at about 250% of past due loans. That's slightly below the 269% that we have now, but that's it's more than a target level that we keep. It's an expectation based on what we see as what will be the regulatory provisioning requirements. Second, in terms of competition, as mentioned earlier, we have seen much more intense competition in the commercial segment last year. And we have seen the traditional players, Banco de Crédito, Banco Continental, and Scotiabank being very active, but also other smaller foreign banks that were not too active in previous years also coming in very much more aggressively than previously. That includes HSBC, Santander, Citi. So it's a very dynamic, competitive environment in commercial. Then our main focus, of course, is retail banking. And there we have also seen much more intense competition. Some of the more traditional players that usually were not too focused on retail, they were more focused on corporate, are now strongly focused on retail, particularly in the consumer loan segment. So that has an intensified competition there. And we also see retailers with their banks like Falabella and Ripley much more active than they were in 2009. So more intense competition both in the retail and the commercial segment. And the commercial segment, the traditional players, plus some smaller banks, both local and foreign, that were not too active previously. And in retail, we are seeing more competition from banks that were not too traditionally active in retail, and also from the banks linked to the retailers, which were not too active in 2009, but have been much more active in 2010. In terms of your question about annuities, it is the case indeed that you mentioned that when annuity sales increase, we also have a higher technical margin loss at Interseguro. And that has to do with accounting regulations imposed by the superintendency in Peru. Every time an annuity is sold, the insurance company receives a lump sum from that annuity and has to register that as an asset. But it also has to register a reserve for that annuity. And that reserve must be is based on the expected flow of payments that have to be made to a person buying the annuity. And the discount rate at which that flow of payments is discounted is usually lower than the actual rate that is paid out to a person buying the annuity. So as a result of that, every time an annuity is sold, there is an accounting loss in the P&L statement that has to be registered. And this loss is amortized over time as the annuity matures. So there's an upfront cost, an upfront accounting cost to selling an annuity, but that's more than offset by the investment gains or the spread made on that annuity and by the amortization of the reserves that have to be registered initially. I don't know if that clarifies or answers your question.
So given that, you know, you still expect another year of strong annuity sales, we shouldn't expect a turnaround in this kind of like underwriting result throughout the year, and then probably as time goes by in the next 2, 3, 4 years, you know, once the rate of growth in new sales diminishes, probably we can see the performance of the at least reported earnings improving, or is it right?
Yeah, that's right. We do not expect a turnaround in underwriting results in 2011. And that will come only, as you mentioned, once annuity sales stabilize or start declining from this, you know, very high point.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Daniel Abbott with Citi.
Just to follow up with Antonio, I wanted to ask you about the underlying ROE. If you exclude the plunge in profitability related to the global crisis that affected you in 2008 and early 2009, your ROE went to above 30% for several quarters, starting in the second quarter of 2009 and stayed there for a few quarters. You were the first one in this conference calls to recognize that was not sustainable and eventually it was going to come down. It came down quite pronouncedly, of course, this quarter, explained partly by some of this one-off that you discussed, but it seems to me that even after adjusting for the one-off, we are now at a level of ROE that is more in the low to mid-20s. So, How should we think about the ROE that you think is realistic to expect in the 2011-2012 timeframe? We'll probably not go back to the 30% we used to have. Where do you think it will stabilize?
As you mentioned, Daniel, when we had those ROEs of 30% for several consecutive quarters, we recognized that was due to an extremely unusual circumstances in terms of the cost of funds that we were having at that moment due to very expansionary monetary policies, both with the Federal Reserve influencing the cost of dollar funding and the Central Bank in Peru influencing the cost of funding in soles. That has changed. The Central Bank in Peru has adopted a much tighter monetary policy, and they are also increasing reserve requirements for dollar funding. So we have a higher cost of funds, both in soles and dollars, as a consequence. And as a result of that, we have gone to the capital markets and expanded the maturity of our liabilities, particularly in dollars, and that has increased our cost of funds. It is true that excluding the one-off that we have in the fourth quarter, we're in the low to mid-20s in terms of ROE in the fourth quarter of 2010. We expect our ROE to remain at a level of around 25% throughout 2011. As we gain volume, we should be able to offset the higher cost of funds and to offset or to better leverage our installed base or administrative expenses in order to return to our targeted profitability of 25%.
Thank you, Jose Andres.
Sure.
Thank you for your question. Again, if you would like to ask a question, it's star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question will come from Boris Molina with Santander.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I forgot something in a prior question. In the fourth quarter, there is a seasonal jump in deterioration in asset quality. We see kind of the number of new non-performing loans, non-performing loans for write-offs, kind of spike. So I don't know if you got worried about this. Do you expect your non-performing ratio to decline? You know, what is going on? In which segment did we see actually this performance in terms of increasing delinquencies, and whether do you expect this to stabilize in the first quarter? You know, what could we expect here?
Sorry, Boris, I didn't catch the first part of your question. Can you please repeat it?
Yes. In the fourth quarter, we saw what we believe is a seasonal deterioration in non-performing loans. Basically, what we do is we take the non-performing loans, we adjust it for the write-offs, and we see what was the inflows of new NPLs into your stock. And it took a spike, which we believe is seasonal, but it was pretty sharp. So we are worried, what segments are we seeing this seasonal pattern? Is this something that you expect to recover in the first quarter? How do you see this?
Well, actually, we haven't looked at the numbers the way you described them. We haven't made that calculation, so we haven't seen a spike. We are not too concerned about any of our segments. We haven't seen anything out of the ordinary. And as mentioned, we expect asset quality to remain constant throughout 2011.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, at this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back over to Jose Antonio.
Well, thank you to everyone for participating in this call. We expect to have you in our discussion of the first quarter conference call in early April. Thank you very much.